Friday was Inauguration Day, and shortly after Donald Trump was sworn in as president, protesters gathered in Portland's Pioneer Square for an anti-Trump rally and march. I was there with a recorder and talked with several of the protesters. All these interviews were conducted while we were gathered in the square and before the march began. You'll also hear my direct report after the march ended at the western end of the Burnside Bridge. Marchers were stopped from advancing on the bridge by a line of police in riot gear. The police set off flashbangs and directed pepper spray at the marchers. You'll hear all that in a few seconds. First, I want to let you know that I was also at Portland's Women's March on Saturday as a participant. While the Inauguration Day protest drew an estimated crowd of 10,000, there were about 100,000 people at the march on Saturday. The Saturday march was also 100% peaceful. The Saturday march organizers had a permit from the city of Portland, and there was a planned and approved route from Waterfront Park through downtown Portland by way of 4th Avenue. By contrast, there was no permit or approved route for Friday's march, and the march ended somewhat more abruptly, as you'll hear for yourselves. Again, here's my report from Friday. Did you want to give a first name and where you're from?
Yeah, I'm Tim. I live in Portsmouth.
Oh, and what are you doing here?
Well, I'm signing up people for the Portland Tenants United. We're a tenants union. We're a solidarity organization. We organize together, and we try to keep the rent from getting too damn high.
Oh, great. And you're coming out to the Trump inauguration protest.
Yep, that's right.
Have you already gotten a lot of signups?
Yeah, no, I'm on multiple pages of people who have given me their names, their emails, and who want to get more involved in helping each other, because we can't expect help to come from on high.
Had a chance to talk with anybody yet about issues other than rent control and why they might be here?
Yeah, no, I think people are here for all sorts of reasons. There's so much to hate and to oppose in Donald Trump and his new administration. It's like it's a beautiful tapestry of people who are going to need to resist for the next at least 4 years to keep Portland a place that we want to live in.
Let me just ask you, for cable listeners who are upset with the inauguration today,
yep,
and are not looking forward to the next 4 years, what can they do locally, politically, to kind of do something constructive?
Join a union, join a civil organization, join a tenants union like the one that I promote.
Call Did you want your to give Congress a website people. Or something like that?
You can find us on Facebook. That's the easiest way.
Okay.
We are Portland Tenants United. Check us out. Join maybe the Democratic Socialists of America. That's an excellent way to be engaged. Portland Resistance is a cool organization. There's Eugene V. Debs, the most successful socialist candidate ever to run for presidency,
yes,
of the United States in the 1920s. He said that confusing voting for a socialist with socialism was like confusing a menu for the meal. Just because you've picked something once every 4 years doesn't mean you take advantage of it.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you're participating in it. Democracy demands more of us than we give it now, and the fruits will be great, but we got to get engaged.
I noticed that you're passing something out, Solidarity Trump's Hate. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so it's a newspaper, Socialist Worker. You can find it at socialistworker.org. And the slogan on the paper this month is Solidarity Trump's Hate. And the reason we put that is because we all need to fight him together, since he's attacking all of us at the same time. But as a socialist, generally, I think that's like the best way to fight in movements is standing with people that maybe you don't necessarily have a personal stake in their fight, but you're putting yourself out there to fight for them because you know your liberation is tied up in their liberation.
Okay, maybe just a first name and where you're from first.
My name is Eric, and I am from Colorado, but I'm a previous resident of Portland.
Oh, great.
I love what Portland is and what it stands for, and I wanted to be here to be part of hopefully what will be the start of a vigorous counter movement that's needed to put things right again. Is too quaint.
All right. Yeah, but you don't want to say make America great again. That's
yeah,
been taken.
Yeah, I'll steer away from that.
Right.
So
I think I know what you mean.
As a former person from Portland, I love the fact that there is this square for public expression. And I think there's no other time that it's as needed as it is now.
So your signs are against Trump, you can't grab this. And is that an organization or is basically just plain on his...
It's not an organization, but it's a... The logo actually comes from a national sort of campaign to create awareness for empowerment in response to Trump's sexist, misogynistic, and violent behavior towards women in general.
So you'll be at the Women's March tomorrow also?
Yes.
And have you gotten any responses to your signs today? Mostly positive, I would guess.
Yes. Yep, mostly positive. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Has there been any negative responses?
Not to our faces.
Oh, okay. So we have tried to give a few out, and a few had a few people decline, which we're incredibly surprised, but nothing negative so far.
No, nothing negative.
And you're here, are you trying to sign people up then?
No, we're just here.
We're just representing those who can't be represented and that are going to be hurt the most by this presidency.
And do you have a strategy for the next 4 years, how to get through it, or
survive
something?
And help everyone else survive?
Yeah, creating awareness and networking with communities, your neighbors, your family members, outreach, bridge building between other organizations or other communities or groups of people that are different from maybe where that intersectionality would normally happen, and try to create, not only greater awareness, but education in a more formal manner, and raising consciousness about not only why we're upset, but why these issues matter and why they affect the future in the long run.
Is this the issue you're worried about most with the Trump presidency?
So I'm a holistic...
Kind of setting back
women's
rights.
Well, I personally am a holistic thinker, so I don't have a... I'm not a single issue person. My professional focus is restorative justice, so I work a lot on sort of decriminalizing culture and looking at creating restorative interventions to crime. But in the general picture, all issues, everything from gender, race, inequality, economic justice, and climate change are all connected. And that's actually part of the problem in modern politics, is we piecemeal out these issues as if they're not connected. But they're completely interrelated, and we need to understand how and why they're interrelated.
One last question. Do you have a sense of hope then for the next 4 years? Or do you think things will get worse? Do you think people will be more active?
I listened to President Obama's farewell speech this morning. I couldn't sleep last night. I was up all night with anxiety. I was like, doom is upon us tomorrow when I wake up. And I just was like, ugh. And so I find his words comforting, because he's always so intelligent and respectful and like able to communicate his thoughts and his passions, and he's a compassionate, empathetic person and all those things. And then his voice over the years is speaking hope and encouraging my generation to get out there and get active and get voting. And being the first Black president and seeing somebody on there that is not a stereotype that you couldn't attach any stereotypes to, he's just himself fully, I think that is going to continue to give me hope, because I know that what my pastor used to always say is, God's past faithfulness demands your ever-present trust in him. So, he was faithful to give us Obama. He'll be faithful to give us somebody good again as well, you know?
Well, and I think what'll happen is all those people that supported him and that are the people we're fighting against, they're going to finally be woken up to some very harsh truths. And it might take so much harsh reality to bring us all back together again.
Yeah, I would add that I think that the institutional left, being sort of the upper middle class white liberals who have a lot of faith in the system, in a way, as great intended as they all are, really did fail to see the groundswell of oppression and issues that the working class and people of color and communities of color have been dealing with for years. And I think that, in all honesty, that Trump was a wake-up call, because when they make satirical skits about the moment that the white liberals were like, what, Trump won? I don't understand. Right.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, communities of color are looking at them like, are you kidding me? You didn't see this coming? Like, there's been a growing consciousness of white hate and elitism in this country. I mean, Wall Street and Occupy movement sort of shined a lot of light on that, and a lot of those issues never got resolved, so there's growing tension in our community even since that time. And so there's a lot of accountability and changes that need to be made that haven't happened, and Trump is sort of this archetype, if you will, of the very sort of a holistic picture of all the issues that are still sitting in this country. And so I feel like I don't know that hope. I think there is hope. We have to have hope. You know, whether or not things will get better, I don't think anything is inevitable. Things getting horrible isn't inevitable. Things getting better aren't inevitable. That's really up to us, the people,
right,
to make those changes. So we have to ask ourselves that. Are we going to make it better, or are we going to cry about it and not, you know, do the work?
So,
and
Trump can be a wake-up call if
Trump,
people take
Trump,
it
in yeah, I
way.
Mean, in a spiritual sense, I'm going to use this. Some people say that a teacher will come when the student is ready. Mm-hmm. There are dark teachers and there are light teachers. When people learn the hard way, they get the dark teachers. And the dark teachers are those that show us everything we do not want to be and everything that we do not want to become. And as a survivor of family violence and long-time trauma in my life, I've learned very deeply what a dark teacher is. And so Trump is a dark teacher in this nation. And we have, as the students of our consciousness and our society, are going to have to make a choice whether or not we're going to learn from history and learn from what he's doing, or if we're going to be doomed to repeat the past or create more trauma.
We're at the base of the Burnside Bridge on the west side. The marchers were trying to get across the bridge, and now the police let off some pepper spray, making me cough a little, not too bad. They're in riot gear, and they're blocking the Burnside Bridge. Now I'm feeling a little bit more of the pepper spray in my mouth. I don't really see how there was any reason for that. The police, I would feel, based on my eyewitness account, overreacted. And there's people coughing, and I'm going to have to get a little farther away now. Because, yeah, I'm feeling some of the pepper spray. I don't have a very positive view of the police, Portland police, right here, right now. This was totally unnecessary and cowardly. So anyway, that's my direct report. I'm going to get a little farther away from them. A lot of people coughing. I'm walking back on Burnside, around where the Salvation Army is now. Most people walking away, I think the pepper spray was effective, though again, overkill and unnecessary. And now we're closer to 2nd Avenue, where I don't quite feel the pepper spray at this point. This is where a lot of people are gathering, and you can hear a lot of sounds. There's some people holding their eyes, coughing. There's some people in kerchiefs on. There was one guy with a gas mask who was a little bit better prepared, I guess, than the rest of us. I didn't really see anything that could have led to the police action. Again, I want to emphasize it seemed unnecessary and somewhat brutal. So very unfortunate.
Yeah,
I'm over here on 2nd and Burnside, and this is where most people are congregating. So it looks like the march is at a standstill. We started at Pioneer Square, went up 6th, over Taylor, I think Yamhill, down 4th. 2nd, we passed Voodoo Donuts, and then turned east on Burnside, and then just at the base of the Burnside Bridge, we were turned back by the police, who were in riot gear and spraying pepper spray. So it looks like we're out of the range over here, and there's still a crowd. Most people, I think, are leaving, because it doesn't seem like the march is going to progress any farther than it is now. You've been listening to our KABU report from Friday's Inauguration Day protest in Portland. This is Ken Jones with KABU News.